Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Phillip Rivers called it a career. Nunchucky, which means in Latin, now I begin. What is your favorite, best memory of Phillip Rivers?
Yeah, just my rookie year when Jay Cutler and Phillip Rivers were at peak rivalry. They were running up and down the sideline. I'll never forget Phillip running up and down the sideline. I was on the sideline the majority of the game, the entire game, and I was watching this happen, right? It was crazy to me.
What was happening?
It was passionate. You had two quarterbacks that were screaming at one another. They were screaming at the opposing side.
And you could hear them?
Yeah, of course. They literally ran up to the sideline and ran the length of the sideline talking to the entire team.
Wow.
It was awesome, though. I mean, it honestly was. It was fun. It was passionate. You felt like there's something extra on the line this weekend.
I love the scoreboard operator moment, obviously. But one of my favorite memories of Phillip Rivers, and hey man, he was 13-19 against the Broncos. We saw Phillip Rivers as the enemy more than any other significant player in the past 20 years. So one of my favorite, first of all, it felt impossible to beat the Chargers for a while.
It did.
I remember Brandon Marshall, the receiver, told us one time his biggest goal, like he would write out season goals, it wasn't beat the Raiders or beat the Chiefs, or it was beat the Chargers. I mean, mm-hmm. That's how tough it was to beat the Chargers in the day. Like, that's the bar that we had to raise up to. When Peyton came to town and they were down by a million points to the Chargers, that Monday night game where Stokely caught the touchdown and Tony Carter made the interceptions, as did Chris Harris. Come on now. In the past decade, that has got to be one of everybody's top memories of that rivalry, winning that game. And it just felt like, take that, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
And with that, we're going to miss Phillip Rivers,
man. Absolutely. The NFL was fun with Phillip Rivers in it.
Bring it, Kevin.
Okay, I gave you two scenarios. I'm testing your memory here, but I gave you two scenarios in which I could see Matt Stafford actually being available for a trade. Do you remember what those two scenarios were? It wasn't today.
Well, one was my birthday. The two scenarios. I don't remember. But,
okay.
Come on now.
Well, you'll remember when I say it here. The first scenario was that they hire a college coach. They want to go after a college quarterback. They want the mobile guy, right?
Okay.
The other scenario was that they gave the new head coach, the new GM, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch type of deals, where they knew that they had the longevity to see it through. They could rebuild. They know that in year one, year two, they don't have to win. Well, the rumors about Matt Stafford being available, I now believe, are real. Dan Campbell was given a six-year deal. He has the time.
Wow.
He has the time to see it through if he wants to.
With a brand new GM.
Yep.
At home.
And I'm gonna assume, this article does not say, but I'm going to assume that Holmes got a six-year deal as well. They have the time.
They're following the Raiders 49ers model
right there. Right.
Wow.
I actually believe Matt Stafford is available now.
Wow.
That's good right there.
It is. Yeah.
We got six. That's the 49ers. It's all right. I get it. We're going to suck here in the beginning.
But we got time to reset it. Let's get the books right. Let's rebuild.
We've got the number 7 draft pick. Let's go for Trey Lance, see how it works out.
Sure.
Why not?
Zach Wilson, whoever you want.
I don't think they could get – I think they'll be drafting quarterback number 4. But I think the
– Or you could move up.
Sure.
Although that wouldn't really make sense in the rebuild mode.
Listen, nobody pounds the table for that more than I do to get your guy. You know what, though? If you were ever going to do it, why not now? That actually makes a ton of sense. A 6-year deal.
I cannot believe that Dan Campbell got a 6-year deal.
Well, they're following the models that Gruden got a 10-year deal.
I know.
Kyle and John Lynch, 6-year or 7, I don't know.
Terry, Campbell?
Hey, do we know what Terry Fontenot got in he's the new GM there with the Falcons. And their new coach is Arthur Smith. Another first-time guy. Yeah, they may go for it, dude. They may just... Because what do you have to lose? It doesn't work out. Trey Lance in 2 years doesn't work out. All right. You know, whatever. They're getting ready to get rid of Matt Stafford.
It sure feels like it.
All right. Ring of Kevin. I got to think about that. We'll get back to that. We were talking during the break, so I'll just bring it up here. I made a gentleman's bet with Zach Bye that no matter what the record was going to be, Vic Fangio was coming back. Why? Well, that's just everything I had heard, and I knew how popular he was, and I knew the Broncos, just this whole continuity thing was a big issue for him. And I just did not think John Elway could possibly fire Vic Fangio. Now, I did not think John Elway was going to fire himself, which ended up happening, essentially. And then Vic Fangio is part of the hiring squad. Like firing squad?
I see what you did.
Yeah. That hires the one guy who
would actually fire him.
That would legitimately fire him. How many wins do you think in a 17-game schedule do you think Vic Fangio has to get to protect his job?
I know in the break you said playoffs. I don't think that's true. I think if you get 9 wins,
out of 17.
Wins, well, if you get,
not,
I mean,
not,
all right,
on,
call it,
there
you're,
is a difference
you're one game out of the playoffs, whatever it is, okay? You're close. You're really, really close. You're tasting it.
Okay.
Oh, man, we need some stability around here. We need to feel like we're headed in the right direction. I think it's anything less than one game out of the playoffs, he's gone.
Okay. Yeah, it's quirky because we've never had 17-game season. We don't know exactly what that number is going to be. I mean, it's crazy in the AFC. You had to win 11 games this year to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows how it's all going to wash out, but that smells to me like 9. You know, I'm going to say 9 is kind of a magic number, too, because you've had 4 losing seasons in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go at least 9 and 8,
it would
right?
be hard to hit reset on progress right now.
All right, I'm going to say...
It would be hard.
I'm going to say if you don't get 9 wins, you're in big trouble if you're Vic Fangio. I mean, I think he should be in big trouble anyway, but I'll go with 9. Now, let me ask question off a question. What if you're 1-5? You okay?
Peyton's got a free redshirt year here. I doubt if he would do anything in the middle of the year this year.
1-6.
Again?
Right. I could keep going.
Yeah.
There's got to be a number, though. There's got to be some sort of, like, you know,
there
Bill
wasn't
O'Brien.
For the Jets.
Well, that's true. But I think they had bigger fish to fry. I really seriously think at some point in the season they realized, okay, this stinks, but we'd rather stink and get Trevor Lawrence than, you know, actually get better here. So I think that's where they were going, and
maybe.
Then Gase won 2 games, screwed it up. Bring it.
What do you think is going to be the first major domino to fall for George Payton? First big decision that actually gets accomplished.
Von Miller restructure.
Totally agree. Exactly where I was going to go.
You can't even touch Justin Simmons until free agency starts. You can
right.
restructure Von at any time.
Yep, yep.
And I think it will happen.
You're going to need some time on the quarterback move, even if you're going to make a trade for
yeah.
a guy like Matt Stafford. It's going to go down to the wire. These teams are going to want to hold on to these
Definitely.
Guys as long as they possibly can.
Oh, that could clearly go all the way to the draft.
Yep, for sure. More than likely will. Von Miller is more than likely going to be your first domino.
The only caveat I'll have in that, you know what? Well, actually, I take that back. That's going to be your first domino kind of no matter what. If the trouble he might be in is more serious, that's a domino.
That decides it for you.
If that all clears itself up, it's still a domino. It's like, okay, let's get this done.
Yeah, regardless
either
of the
way.
Trouble, there's a decision to be made.
Yeah, I agree. That's the first thing. I don't think he wants that necessarily to be the first thing, but as things line up, that's the first thing.
Yep.
Bring it. The NBA is enforcing a no hug at mid-court rule. They're actually putting security out at mid-court to stop it. Tyler, is this going too far? Or is this, you know, smart, COVID, blah, blah, blah?
I don't get it. I mean, this is like NFL telling players that you can't exchange jerseys, that you can't take pictures together after the game. You can go exchange blood and sweat and tears. But,
right.
I mean, now we're going to get panicked over a little hug at the end of the game. I don't get it. If you can play the game, certainly you could hug the guy. Are you fouling him? Are you putting your hands on his face?
I think the intention is in the right place. It just seems a little over-officious. Because you're right. They're playing against each other the entire time. Listen, but... okay. Under the headline, Tyler, better safe than sorry.
Sure.
Okay. But, yeah, okay. Ring it, Kevin.
Which quarterback do you think has the most on the line this weekend?
That's a good question.
You can think of it as money.
Boy.
You can think of it as job security. You can think of it as legacy. You can think of it as whatever you want.
I'd say Aaron Rodgers. I think Mahomes has an MVP and a Super Bowl title. He's fine. He's young. Josh Allen, he's got another 10 years probably. And he's already had a hell of a year. Tom Brady doesn't have anything on the line. It's all gravy, and he already made a championship game. And Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer no matter what. But there have been bigger questions, and there is something about winning that second Super Bowl. There is. There's something that Eli Manning has figured it out and Aaron Rodgers hasn't. I don't think it's going to be terrible for any of the guys, but I'd say Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it's funny you say that because, unrelated, I had an article pulled up here that Aaron Rodgers was asked if he's thought about the possibility that this is his fifth and last trip to the finals. And he said that, you know, I'm just trying to stay in the present. I hope there's more opportunities, but I don't know. I really don't. That's outside of my control, but my future is a beautiful mystery. It really is.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he did.
My future is a beautiful mystery?
Yeah, he did. He did. He did.
I thought Nung Chopi was good, but...
If you're talking about Aaron Rodgers could go from one of the best of his era to one of the all-time greats with a couple rings, right?
Yeah. Legacy's on the line.
He could go to actually even another contract with the Green Bay Packers, even though they drafted his replacement already.
They
right?
did, though. They just screwed that up.
Josh Allen's going to get his next contract.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes already got his.
Right.
Tom Brady's already the GOAT.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I agree.
God, I hope Tom Brady wins that game. Bring it, Kevin. Wrap it up. I'm not rooting for the Packers. I have never liked the Packers, ever. I don't like the color of their uniform. The whole thing about the cheese heads and how cute the stadium is in a neighborhood, the frozen tundra. There's never, ever, ever been anything interesting to me about the Green Bay Packers. I don't know why I feel like that, but I do. I don't like them. I don't like the area, the country. I don't like them.
My son asked me last night if I had to pick a favorite team that I didn't play for, who would it be? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm from Denver. It would have been Denver. It would have been the Broncos had I not played here, but I don't know what it would be. And he's like, I know what it would be. I was like, you do?
Who?
What? He's like, well, it'd be Green Bay and San Francisco because your friends are the head coaches. And I'm like, you know what? Good answer.
Oh, well, that's
there you
a good
go.
Point.
It's actually a great answer.
I'll tell you this.
Then he asked me who I think is going to win. And I said, I don't know. Tom Brady's got some guy. It might be Brady. It might be Brady.
How could you bet against him?
I know. And he goes, all right, well, I'm going to text your friend. I'm going to tell him you said that.
There you go. Now, does that friend get back to you, or does that friend not
he does.
Get back to you?
He totally does. You tested
all
me
right.
last time.
Well, shoot, man. I'm going to root for the – all right. I'm not going to pull against your friend. I still think Tom Brady plays for the Patriots. It's messing with my brain. I still, when I think about him playing, I'm like, oh, the Patriots. Oh, no, wait. Tampa Bay.
It's weird, right?
Like, why do we like Tampa
Green Bay's
Bay?
A better football team, though. It's just hard to root against Tom Brady. It's just hard to root against that. Green Bay's 100% a better football team.
I'll tell you, man, for those players living in Green Bay, how awful must that be? I'll tell you this. I guarantee
the only thing that you have going on for you,
Buffalo's a better place to live for a professional athlete than Green Bay. I promise you that.
Buffalo might be close to this, but the only thing that Green Bay has really going on for it as a player is that it's the only town in the NFL that's got a college feel to your program. Just being in Lambeau, being a part of it.
You got to live in Green Bay, though.
I know. You got to live in Buffalo also, buddy.
You know what? You know what's funny? Playing for the Patriots must suck, too, because they are not in Boston. And Boston is not convenient to Foxborough.
Oh, look, so there's some bad cities.
You're going to live in Foxborough. Foxborough is awful. Foxborough may be worse than Green Bay. You're really not that close to anything there. Giselle must have hated it.
Well, they didn't live in Foxborough. They lived in Boston. And he drove an hour and a half to work every day.
They had some ridiculous home. Have they even sold that home yet?
I think it's for sale.
Yeah, it's like for $30 million. Who's buying a home in the woods in Massachusetts? By the way, you like my t-shirt?
Ipswich.
Reppin'.
Nice.
Never worn this t-shirt. You know why?
It's brand new?
No, it's like more than 10 years old. Keep going.
I don't want to say it.
No, go ahead.
No, I don't want to say
it. Go ahead. You can say it.
I can't.
You can say it.
It's a mean word.
No, it's all right.
All right, you were fat.
I was way fat. I was so fat. Couldn't fit into it. Parents got it for me. I don't know why my parents bought me a shirt from my hometown, but I was too fat.
I knew the right answer all along.
No, I know. First time I've worn it. I've had it forever. I hit my goal today.
You know what? I saw that. Congratulations. Honestly a huge deal. 165 pounds.
Yep.
That is amazing.
I was so out of shape when I started this. I didn't even want to get on this. I didn't. I kind of fibbed to my people at Profile by Sanford. I was like, I can't figure out how to hook the scale up.
Put new batteries in.
Well, it's a cool deal, actually. It's connected through the internet, so I don't have to go in. I can just weigh at home and all that stuff. So it's a great program, Profile by Sanford. But I was like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. And when I first weighed myself, I had been with the program for a little chunk of time. And, you know, Richie just lost 10 pounds
in a week
by blinking. You know, that does happen when you start. If you're really far gone, sorry, Richie. You know, it's gonna go quick in the beginning.
I'm aware that the pace that I've set is aggressive, so I'm just trying to get as close to that from now on as I can.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really want to pile on. You didn't know that Alabama touched Florida, so I don't feel as bad about it today. But I always thought Tyler was gonna struggle in this bet.
I didn't make the bet. Let's not.
I mean, Tyler was only like.
Made the bet just to prove science wrong. I knew I was gonna lose, but I just wanted to prove scientifically that you could lose more weight working out 7 minutes a day than 90.
I mean, I was actually surprised Tyler even wanted to lose weight.
Sounded like a fun bet.
I thought it was fun.
I did too.
I mean, it helped you, Richie.
I offered him double or nothing.
How you doing?
I'm still, I mean, it's only been, I told you I lost 14 pounds in 14 days, and it's only been 2 days since I told you that, so I haven't weighed in since then.
But it is tricky when you get closer to the end. I mean, losing anything at this point is tough. It's not easy. So I really would like to actually get down another 10 pounds, but I'm in no kind of, like, if it happens, it happens sort of mode. You know?
Well, if you make it a lifestyle, you will.
Yeah, and that's what I plan to do. That's how I plan to do it. But anyways, I hit that today, and Nung Cheppy,
awesome.
Philip Rivers.
Awesome. Honestly.
Now I begin.
That's a huge deal, man. It really is.
But it really was pedal with Columbus. You know, somebody reached out to me today, and they go, hey, congratulations, and I'm going to do it too, and I want to, you know, pedal with Columbus next year. I was like, yeah, man, I want to be there too. Then I thought for a second, does Tyler want to be there?
Of course I do, man. That thing is a staple now.
Do you see yourself as a grandmaster host or a participant?
Oh, no. 100% participant.
So you're going to amp all the way back up again and be able to...
Yeah.
With the same goal? The 100 miles?
Yep. I'll do it again.
Wow.
For sure.
Okay. I pretty much figured you'd hate riding your bike after, you know, doing all of that.
Well, I took a little break. I actually got out a couple days ago on the bike and...
You got outside?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was great to get back out on the bike. Weather has been – we caught a couple of really nice days here. I wish I got out today, to be honest with you. I went on a long walk today, and the whole time I was thinking to myself, man, I should be on the bike. It is nice today.
Went for a walk.
I did.
Wife?
Yeah. No, just me and the dog, actually.
Oh. Well, who went for a walk then?
Well, the dog took me on a walk.
All right, time for the Hockey Guys update. All right, here are your Avalanche Comcast Kroenke Sports highlights.
Here's in front, scores, shoots and scores. The Colorado control the draw with the puck, score. Here comes moving in, he deeks, and he scores with his second goal of the period.
So we think the Avalanche won. Now,
right.
Now, because they played last night, a mini Sportsnado. So we think the Avalanche won. Now we have your Nuggets highlights.
Decides to drive it, got him in the air, series of fakes, does the dance, got it off and puts it in. Pretty play by nice pass, goes down low to three, cord! Good shot by again, he's at 2 threes. He got another one! The Rainbows one in again from three.
Oh. See, we try to have fun, and a pal of mine reaches out and is all mad.
Already? No way.
I was trying to have fun.
That was quick.
I know.
That was a quick text.
All right, I feel bad. I feel bad.
You never say that before when they're not listening.
Well, he's listening, and I feel bad. I really do. I feel bad.
You never say that before.
I know. I'm trying to be sensitive now. Why are you shaking your head? I feel bad. I do feel bad. I really do. I want it to be settled. I want to watch the Avs and Nuggets.
Of course we all want to watch
it. And now, you know, forget it. I won't even say another thing about it because I really was trying to have fun and my friend did not think it was fun. And that's that. Oh, okay. I'm sensitive to that. I was just trying to have a little fun. That was really Richie's fault. He did all that work. If it was up to me, I wouldn't have even done that. Let's just have the games on.
Richie did make a lot of mistakes today.
He really,
I mean, if we're being honest, he made a lot of mistakes.
I mean,
outside of the Alabama-Florida one, what did I miss?
Well, you just got D-Mac in trouble.
You just got me in trouble.
No, I didn't get you got yourself in trouble.
No,
I may have given you
who's all right,
the match
listen,
to play
I am,
with.
I know I'm 100% innocent in this. So whose idea was it? Because I know it wasn't my idea.
It was Richie's idea.
It was my idea.
All right.
Thank you.
But you know what D-Mac said when I presented him the idea?
Thank you.
That's hilarious. Let's do it.
Mm.
All right. Let me be more serious. They both won last night, which is awesome. The Avs beat the Kings 3-2 at Staples. Nathan MacKinnon had two assists on a couple shots on goal, and Mikko Rantanen scored the third goal. Way to go, Mikko. The Nuggets,
love you, Mikko.
The Nuggets beat Oklahoma City 119-101. That is awesome. Jokic was great, 27-12-6. Bol Bol scored 2 points. We love Bol Bol.
I mean, DeHuff does a great job on the sports updates if you just want to let him do that.
Sure. And listen, I am frustrated we can't watch the games, and I hope it gets resolved shortly. I mean, you know, they still think I'm a jerk, probably. Right? Sleeping giant. What does that mean? If the Broncos wake up a sleeping giant, what happens then? We'll get to it next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Hey, you know, I want to go back to something George Payton said. He said that the Broncos were a sleeping giant.
Right.
Okay. Well, first, let me ask you, what do you think that means?
Well, I asked him about that when we had him on air, and I asked him, does that mean that you think you're one or two pieces away? And he said no. He said no. I mean, I want to be careful to not put any time limit on or time frame on how long this is going to take to rebuild this thing. So, I honestly really don't put too much weight into it. I think it was just generic speak. You got a new job. You said something exciting.
To me, like, sleeping giant is like, the parts are already here.
Exactly.
We got to wake them up.
Right, which is why I asked the question. I said, does that mean that you think you're only a few pieces away? And he said, no. You know, so everything I've actually heard out of him, he's been very careful to not put a time on anything. And he said many times, I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're going to do it the right way.
All right, well, if the Broncos were to have players that would, metaphorically wake up.
Yeah.
Who would they be? What would it look like?
Okay, who needs to wake up? Well, if Vaughn's still here, he's in that category, right?
Okay.
So if Von Miller...
What would you need for Vaughn? Because you got... The 8 to 10 sacks.
10 sacks. 10 sacks plus.
Okay, because now what are you getting out of Atachu and Reed?
But I think for Vaughn, it's always been more than the amount of sacks. He's been one of the most timely pass rushers, honestly, in the history of the game.
Right.
When he gets his sacks and the way he gets his sacks and the way he creates strip sacks, he creates pressures, he creates turnovers. That's what's made him so unique.
So even if Reed and Atachu are productive, they're not scaring anybody. Nothing special's going on. There's nothing that's like, there's nothing from them.
Well,
that's more unusual than what an offensive line would face every week.
Right. Malik Reed is a respectable football player that put up respectable numbers. So, you know, he's going to make some plays here and there, but he's not been a disruptor by any means.
Vaughn would be. Vaughn or somebody else that could produce that kind of production would be huge.
Bradley Chubb could fit in that category as well. You know, if Bradley Chubb were to go back to his rookie year and give us 12 sacks again, all right, that's a sleeping giant.
Okay.
All right,
that's pass rush. Pass rush is a sleeping giant. There's more that could come from them, and if you get more that come from them, likely you get more turnovers, right?
Sure.
I mean, one thing follows another.
Sure.
All right, what else?
Trying to think about offensively, I can't really think of anything offensively outside of Drew Lock or outside of the quarterback.
Courtland being back?
I mean, he's already a giant. I mean, he's already in that category. He doesn't need to wake up. He just needs to keep doing his deal, right?
But you get him back. You get his production back.
Sure.
How significant would that be?
I think huge. You know, that's it's going to do wonders for Jerry Jeudy. It's going to do wonders for the football team. Well, because Jerry Judy's not the one guy that they can bracket, that they can double team. Mm-hmm. They got to account for Courtland Sutton now. So that frees somebody up. It's the DT Emmanuel Sanders effect, right?
Okay. Or had they been doing that to Jerry Jeudy? Was that one of the reasons that he was having some problems?
I don't think it was just that. I think there was a lot going on with Jerry Jeudy.
there was a lot going on with Jerry Jeudy.
To just not connecting with Drew Lock.
Right.
I mean, there was a lot going on. But just generically speaking, it helps to have another good guy on the field.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Tim Patrick was extraordinary, top to bottom.
Yeah.
You never can have too many good guys out there. And the one thing I was noticing in the playoffs is just how many contested catches there are in the NFL, especially when you get in the red zone. And I think I hate to say this because of my diminutive status, but I do think size matters, you know, in that department. Speed matters, but I think in the NFL overall, size matters more than speed.
Yeah, I can't fight that all too much. Although, you look at the majority of the teams, and they've got one big guy, they've got one agile guy. So you need a little bit of both. You need the guy that can be your third down separator, that can separate in short space, and then you need the jump ball guy, right? So
yeah.
I think the majority of the teams have got a combination of it all at the wide receiver spot.
You know, it always seems to me the small guy, it's not like he's the run away from you guy. It's that he does get open and he catches everything, guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're about creating space in a small area. So can you create 2 yards of separation on a 5-yard route?
And catch everything.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then the big guys, they just go and get it. And you see some of these playoff teams and you're just like, where are all these guys coming from? I mean, they got like 6-7 dudes and you're just like, well, who are these guys?
Right.
And, you know, I think the Broncos getting Courtland Sutton back would be huge. I do hope they bring back Tim Patrick. I thought Tyree Cleveland was an interesting big body they had. And of course you need better production out of Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. Is KJ Hamler a sleeping giant? I mean, he'd be a small sleeping giant, but is there something there?
I don't know. I would call him a giant. I was actually pleasantly surprised with KJ Hamler this year.
Yeah.
He was much more effective than I thought he was going to be. He didn't do the things that I thought we brought him here to do, meaning he was going to be the take the roof off the top kind of guy, right? And we really didn't hit him on very many deep balls, but he was an effective weapon that we started to utilize. And you especially saw it in that Kansas City game late in the year where he was kind of playing the Tyreek Hill role.
Sleeping giant, could that be Drew Lock? Probably not.
That would help. I mean, probably not, but that certainly would be the biggest sleeping giant you could find quarterback spot.
Is there? Oh man, I'd love to see it. I'm not gonna lie. I really do like. You know, I've been thinking about this a ton. I really do like Drew Lock, and every time I try to think in a very positive nature about it, you know, somebody comes over the top with like, He was a 32nd ranked quarterback. He threw the most interceptions, completion percentage. I mean, it's like when you have an argument, you try to make it, and it's just, I can't argue against it. You know, at the end of the day, that's what George Payton's going to see too, right?
Right, right. And in regards to the sleeping giant comment, I just don't think he meant it. As we sit here and we go through it, this isn't a sleeping giant football team. We're 2 to 3 years away still. And it's a good thing that George Payton's got a six-year deal because he's going to need 2 to 3 years to get there.
We're not a bunch of hobbits in the Shire.
Huh?
Well, there's a giant, and then there's – well, I might be a hobbit in a Shire, but, you know, we're somewhere – we're probably somewhere – I don't know. We're not Gollum. I really don't know. I'm thinking of
I'm trying to
follow the Lord
of the Rings comments
here. I should go down the Viking route.
I have seen the Lord of the Rings. I just don't.
Let me forget it.
I just don't have it all.
Give me the Viking metaphor. Who are the Broncos in the world of Vikings?
Right, right. So you've got Ragnar for sure.
He's at the top though, right?
Oh boy. At the bottom, man. I mean, you've got...
We don't have to be at the bottom. We could be somewhere in the middle.
Hold on, where are we? Are we in the middle?
I don't...
If we're in the middle, we're Uhtred.
Yeah. We're Uhtred!
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any chance Uhtred could be Ragnar?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Uhtred is a son of Ragnar.
Get out of here! All right, so what does he have to do to become Ragnar?
Kill all his brothers.
All right. When we come back... You know, no matter what, it was going to go to that route anyways, right?
With Vikings. We were talking about Vikings.
It didn't matter. It was going to go there no matter what the question was.
Exactly.
Okay. When we come back, our 9 News Broncos insider Mike Kliss joins us next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, earlier we caught up with our guy, Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, brought to you by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Mike always has the latest and greatest scoops. You focus on salary cap space a little bit today, I saw. What is the situation for the Broncos? What are we looking at here in terms of available room?
Well, basically the only news there is they rolled over $17.9 million, roughly, that they had left over in cap space from this year. So they didn't use $17.9 million. They rolled it over into 2021. So let's say the salary cap, and this past year's salary cap was about $199 million. The anticipation that everyone's been throwing out there is that with the lost revenues, the salary cap will be reduced to $175 million. So every team's got $175 million to spend on their payroll. The Broncos, on top of that $175, let's say that's what it comes in at, would have an additional, you know, $17.9 million or call it an extra $18 million to spend. So they would have $192 million for their payroll in 2021 if, you know, that's what that $175 is what the league-wide cap comes into. And it, you know, I think with the rollover, the Broncos should be very, very close to what they spent this past year. Okay. And we'll see what the new GM wants to do. I would think that, you know, if you're new to a team, you'd want to spend as much to the cap as you can with George Payton. On the other hand, he's talked a lot about the draft and building through the draft, which is a less expensive way to go. I can't wait to see what type of moves he makes this off season, in particular, of course, with the quarterback position.
Yeah, Mike, you've had a chance to chat with George Payton at the presser. I know you had him one-on-one. We had him on our show. You've heard him a number of times now. Have you picked up on any tells on where he might be leaning on some of the bigger decisions and starting with quarterback?
I guess that on quarterback, he wants it. He doesn't want it Drew Lock and Drew Lock alone, you know, to sink or swim on how Lock plays in 2021. He wants an alternative. And, you know, I do not know if that's as big as Deshaun Watson, which would be the obviously the biggest one, or if it's someone like Jameis Winston, who would compete legitimately with Drew Lock, or, and I don't know who this would be, but be your starter, but you want a veteran like, you know, like the Chargers this year had the intention of Tyrod Taylor breaking in Justin Herbert. Now, you know, Tyrod Taylor, you don't want to go there, but someone like that. And I just think it'll be, I do think at minimum, they'll bring in a quarterback as a backup who has a couple years experience as a starter. You know, this past year, Jeff Driskel, you know, he had 8 games over 2 seasons as a starter with the Lions and the Bengals, and he was really more of a number 3 quarterback most of his career than a number 2. I think they're going to get someone this time, at minimum, who's been mostly a number 1 and will wind up a number 2. It's obviously early, fluid. Who's right now? You don't know if Deshaun Watson's out there. I'm not thinking the Broncos myself would have much chance at Deshaun Watson, the more I look at it.
Yeah, us too.
You know, just first of all, you have to give up Locke, right? Here's the trade. Locke, and then one of 3 players. Judy, Draymond Jones, or Noah Fant would have to be included. And then 2 first-round draft picks.
Well, I mean, I'd do that in a heartbeat. It's just a matter of whether Deshaun would want to come here. Wouldn't you do that? I would do that in a heartbeat.
Well, and then you've got $35 million, and he's only like $10.5 million this year, but then he's $35 million in 2022, $39 million in 2023. And I guess I wouldn't do that. No, I would not do that. I think that's there's so many holes on this team right now. It's a 5-11 team. It's not.
Wait, I thought
12-4.
Well, hold on, Mike. I thought we were a sleeping giant.
Well, on offense, you got a chance. On offense, you got a chance to make a quantum leap. Mm-hmm. If these young guys, and you get Cortland Sutton back and Locke hits. You know, in the next year, that's where the sleeping giant is. On defense, I think you got to, you know, tear it down. I mean, tear at least half of it down and rebuild it. You've got so many key players that have the unholy trinity of age, injury, and salary. So you got to make some substantial changes on defense.
All right, let me go through a couple things quick with you. Our impression is that Justin Simmons will be a high priority, and Justin likely will become the highest, if maybe the second highest paid safety in the game.
You know, I know he, Peyton has said that he's going to be a high priority. I guess, you know, that matters some, but it doesn't matter much. It tells you the attitude of the team, but you just said it. I'm not sure they're willing to make him the highest paid safety. Mm-hmm. See, last year the Broncos made a substantial offer to Justin Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
They made him an offer that would have made him the number 5, number 6 paid safety in the league. Justin Simmons wanted nothing less than number 1. Talk stalled, didn't even, you know, they didn't really negotiate. That was it. And so now Garrett Bowles, you know, everybody talks about how great it was for the Broncos to get Garrett Bowles. Garrett Bowles took number 5 tackle money. He didn't take number 1 tackle money. It's always difficult when a guy asks for the number 1, the highest paid money at his position. And if Justin Simmons does that again, asks for number 1 money, I think there's a real chance he'll be tagged again. The tag comes in at 13.7, you know, a second tag, 13.7. You know, there's 4 or 5 safeties making $14 million plus. Again, you got that salary cap coming in lower this year. I think it's going to be tricky to get Justin Simmons done, but I also think, I do think one way or the other, he's back. The question is he back on the second tag? Or do they finally work out a deal where $14 million something or other seems like the number to get Justin Simmons back? We'll see if Peyton goes there with it.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
See you, Mike.
All right. See ya.
There you go. Mike Kliss from 9 News, our Broncos insider, brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. All right, Tyler. We've done it all. What else is there to do?
Hey, you know, we solve problems.
That's it.
That's what we do.
That's it. If George
we let Peyton know yesterday. If you got questions, we've got answers.
Did your phone ring today?
Yeah. Yeah. He already called.
He did?
Yeah.
What do you
want? Well, he wanted to know if I had any eligibility left. And I'm like, yeah, you don't run out of eligibility.
Cecil and Nick Ferguson, they're coming up next. Have a great night.